Hi, I'm Zernke.
And I'm Simon.
And I'd like to invite you to join me and my psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on, and this one's introduced by, on community radio station 3CR.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and this one's introduced by is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and this one's introduced by Simon Strong and Zonk Rickerson are a duo whose debut collaboration, The Bastardizer's Beautiful Record, carries a title as rich with meaning as the music within. Musical soulmates for many years, Zonk and Simon first played together in Pink Stainless Tail, a band named after a 1967 Red Crayola song. Across three albums, the group, which also featured Nick Boddington on bass and guitarist Harry Howard, earned a reputation for wild, confrontational live performances. Following Howard's departure, the band dissolved, only for Simon and Zonk to reunite a few years later in Akranoplans. Joined by Aaron Goldberg and Stefan Schutt, Akranoplans released two albums of what was famously described as hard rocking, psychedelic and dub-infused music. After a Akranoplans split due to musical differences, the pair explored diverse paths. Simon released a series of spoken word albums under the Bastardizer moniker, while Zonk, who founded the legendary Melbourne noise band Slub, releasing records between 1987 and 1997, is also currently playing live with The Ramifications. Now they have returned to their shared roots with The Bastardizer's Beautiful Record, featuring 12 folk-inspired tracks. The album is available on 180-gram vinyl CD and digital download via Simon Strong's Bandcamp page. Joining us today on Community Radio 3CR to talk through each track is Simon Strong and Zonk Rickerson with Dr. Gonzo on And This One's Introduced By.
Wow, welcome listeners. Yeah, this is me, Simon Strong, reporting from Planet Earth. I think it was last time I checked. Was it Planet Earth, was it? Well, what planet are we
on? I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest.
Okay, well, let's just assume.
We've been to so many different planets.
Yeah. I, as you know, am an experimental novelist and avant-garde filmmaker who has dabbled in making records, which, you know, have been had mixed reviews sometimes, but the latest one seems to have been received quite well, doesn't it? And Zonk, why don't you tell the kids out there and the old people and everybody in between about the circumstances around the Bastardizer's Beautiful Record?
Yeah, sure. No worries. Well, we sort of, after the Akranoplans disbanded last year, me and Simon decided to go folk and to just do away with all the electricity one needs and rehearsal studios to be hired and all that sort of stuff. So we started working on songs, and Simon is the lyricist. I mainly write the music. The first record is sort of half covers, half originals or interpretations of songs. The first track is called
Blood Sugar Dropping, yeah.
Blood Sugar Dropping, which is incidentally also the first track Pink Stainless Tail ever wrote in 2001 or 2002 in that area. So we just did a folkified version of that song. Here we go.
That was good, wasn't it? It was better than I expected, anyway.
Yeah, it's surprisingly close to the original, in a way. But, well, which is...
Yeah, yes, depending on what drugs you're on. Yeah.
Well, of course, yeah. Well, I don't think so. Anyway, you can argue about that one.
What's next? This is The Sky's a Soft Target, the first Pink Stainless Tail record, isn't it?
That's right,
an unplugged version of the first Pink Stainless Tail record, which Dixons have had on the wall. Dixons Recycled have had on the wall at Northcote. For I think, what is it, $18 for about 2 years. It's a collector's item. You can order it on Bandcamp, the Pink Stainless Tail version, still.
Excellent. Excellent news. We'll become famous soon.
Yeah. Famous for 15 people.
Yeah, for about 15 seconds. So the next song is called God Star, which is also from the Pink Stainless album.
Yeah, I'll explain at interminable length what God Star was about if you were confounded by the tune. I'll do that afterwards, after you've listened to it. Yeah, okay, kids. Okay. Get your frugging skirts on, because it's all going to happen in just a moment. Here we go! Happened to Genesis Peori? He kind of dropped off the radar, didn't he, she, they?
Yeah, well, I mean, completely, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got a very special story to tell about that one, don't you?
Yeah.
Being an Englishman.
I did correspond with Jen, and I was planning on publishing a book by him before I left, when I had Codex Books and Records in the UK, but I had to flee the country suddenly in 1995, for reasons that have never yet been fully explained. And unfortunately, the forthcoming books by Genesis Peorage and also David Peel, you know, the famous hippie pal of John Lennon, the missing link between Gigi Allin and John Lennon, those books never came out, sadly. Only the ones by Richard Hell and Kathy Acker and all those New York types. It's a great shame, but I think Jen's books came out through other publishers afterwards, so really gives it fuck either way, really. Mm. So, that, yeah, there's lots of mixed opinions about that, Jen. I don't know anything about any of that.
Yeah, well, I'll just let other people do the thinking for me on that one.
Yeah, yeah, and let the music speak for itself. Yeah. I did, actually.
Some of the music is awesome. Other stuff not so good, but anyway.
I like, what was my favourite Psychic TV track? I like Just Like Arcadia off the Allegory and Self album. That's a banging tune. I won't do an a cappella version of it now for your delectation. But, yeah, Psychic TV, I did record covers for them as well. And Alex Ferguson, top bloke, yeah, very underrated.
Hmm.
And, yeah, industrial music on the whole... I don't know what I think about that. Some of it's good, some of it gives me a headache.
Yep, I think that's part of the deal. That's what you get with Genesis. And you used to live pretty close to him, didn't you?
Yeah, it's actually a complete lie in the tune. I said I used to live next door to you. Actually, I used to live next door but one to him, but I couldn't sing the line fast enough. I used to live next door but one to you. It doesn't really work. And so I'd lied through my teeth, what teeth I had left after being punched in the face all those times.
Well, I believe you.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear St. Answorth Gardens then.
I see that blind man in the street, a day old doctor at his feet. Tap, tap, tap across the road. Tap, tap, squelch, that's how it goes. There's a hedge that separates the park from one side of John, the one who knows the end was dark. Just for now, I'll beg your pardon. I must take me down to St. Answorth's Garden. If I waited for 1,000 years, just on the off chance that you'd come by here. Oh, when at last you walked on through, I pretended not to notice you. There's a thin line between tragedy and mundanity, but there's not at all when you wait next to me. When evening falls and the shadows lengthen, I'll be waiting down in St. Answorth's Garden. I
Yeah, St. Anne's Wells Gardens. So, like, is it St. Anne's Wells Gardens? Nobody knows. The title of that tune actually changes because I'm not sure where the apostrophe goes. And anyway.
I always thought it was St. Anne's Wells without any apostrophe.
No, St. Anne Wells. No, I don't say, I think it's St. Anne.
St. Anne Wells.
St. Anne Wells. It's a park in Hove, and I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, when I was on the Dole in Thatcher's Britain, go and sit in that park and while away the hours reading paperback books and drinking Merrydown cider and taking antihistamine tablets and wait for to see if any girls I knew walked past me that I could. it never happened. And you've heard the song, so you know how that all worked out. And yeah. Of course, that is in the Bastardizer, the famous chapter in the Bastardizer where the orphanage explodes at a terrible cost of human life, but in hilarious detail. And the orphanage, of course, used to be opposite St. Anne's Wells Garden, except it wasn't an orphanage. It was a school for blind kids, but I thought an orphanage was funnier. Nobody wants to read about a school for blind children exploding. And actually, no, as it turns out, nobody wants to read about an orphanage exploding either. Sales have been disappointing.
It all depends on your level of intoxication, I suppose.
There's always room for improvement on that score.
Mm. Okay, well, the next tune is The Function of the Gorgon. I should maybe say we recorded the entire record pretty much ad hoc. Most of it at my place in my lounge room with just one or two mics. A lot of it was done as a one-take recording, and we added all sorts of funny instruments. I've got a large collection of things lying around, like a saxophone, piano and other things. So we made use of all that, but let's just go to the next tune, The Function of the Gorgon.
Yeah.
It lies gazing on a midnight sky. Upon a cloudy mountain peak supine, below far lands seen tremblingly, its horror and its beauty are divine. Upon its lips and eyelids seem to lie lovelessness like a shadow from which shine fiery and lurid, trembling beneath the agonies of anguish and of death. Yet it is less the horror than the grace that turns the gazer's spirit into stone, whereon the lineaments of that dead face are graven till the characters be grown into itself, and then thought no more can trace it the melodious hue of beauty's throne athwart the darkness and the glare of pain that human eyes. Grow as grass out of a watery rock, its head of vipers they curl and flow, and along tangles in each other's lock, and with the unending involution showed a mallet radiance as if it were to mock the torture and the death within, and sort of solid air with many a ragged jaw. Stone beside a poisonous if deep sidely into those go-go tempestuous loveliness of terror. For from the serpent screams a brazen glare, kindled by the inexorable error, makes the thrilling vapor of the air, becomes a ever shifting mirror.
Hi, I'm Sönke.
And I'm Simon.
And you're listening to, and this one's introduced by, where the artist introduces tracks from the album here on 3CR.
Woo! Oh, well, that was a scream, wasn't it? So that's the end of side one of the record, or halfway through the CD, if you've got the digital CD, or indeed if you're on the internet, it's all one big lump, like... I'll try and think of something that I can say on the radio that describes what I just meant.
What's that big fatty thing that blocked the
fatberg in the sewer?
That blocked the Thames or something, or the sewerage.
Yeah, which
is something like that.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor for the internet. Sig, yeah, spot on.
It blocks everything.
Yeah, and it's becoming sentient. They reckon the fatberg under the Thames has become sentient.
It's
sending its minions out into the streets to do its bidding. Mm. Yeah, Doctor Who has better watch his step.
Well, slipping and sliding, eh?
In my day, you were lucky if you could afford to buy lard or dripping, and now it's basically being forced upon you whether you want it or not. Well, where am I? What's happening?
Well, the next tune is The Experimental Novelists.
Oh, that'd be about me.
Which is about Simon.
Yeah. This is an autobiographical tune, and it's really rocking. It's one of my favourite tunes. The Cranoplans recorded this for that single that we cut at the wrong speed, where it was like cut at 33 RPM instead of 45 RPM, and each side has only got about... like half an inch of music on it, and then all this dead wax in the middle, because I ordered the records when I was really drunk and had it cut at 33 RPM. Mm. I could have put both sides of the record on one side and put another two tunes on the other side, but as it was, we didn't do that. So kids, don't drink and make records.
As I type these lonely sheets, I realize that no one reads me. In a bookshops all around the world, the pretty girls that sell the books don't need me. Well, yesterday the horny dudes were on the tram with 50 Shades of Grey. Right, nowadays little wankers can't be bothered. Phones away. As I read the book reviews, I realize that it all makes me want to spew. All I want to read is books that blow my mind, like those what I write usually do. But all the novels that I published were as distant to you as the stars. I didn't want to read them, well, I didn't want to read yours. I might be a little bit drunk right now, but not quite half as much as I could be. But pretty soon I'll be so hammered, little kids will gather round and point at me. play together and go and make a rock and roll band. Everyone will love it, it won't be very hard to understand. I'll jump around, I'll shout out things that sound both erudite and comical. A profit from the merchandise alone are astronomical. But if I keel over halfway through it, look away and don't blame me. I'm the experimental novelist, just you wait and see. Rock on, anyone.
Yeah, so I'm still furious about that, because most people, of course, buying a single, put it in at 45 RPM and think that the Ukranoplans are actually doing a cover of the Chipmunks tune. The Chipmunks, as far as I know, never did a tune about being an experimental novelist or writing books that are too difficult for people to understand. I should say that The Bastardizer is very easy to understand. It's full of jokes and anecdotes about popular music and parables of wisdom and fantastic pictures that Zonka did, cartoons of sort of strippers and people masturbating that Zonka drew, and
graphic detail.
Yeah. It's adults only, to be safe to say. But in actual fact, nobody wants to read it of any age. It transpires.
They just look at the pictures.
Yeah, it's true. People, I ask people, what do you think of my last experimental novel, The Bastardizer Polishes a Turd, out now on Cripplegate Books of London, at very reasonable prices, available from the internet booksellers everywhere, even those bastards, Amazon, who I should be boycotting, and I never buy stuff off, but I do sell stuff off, so I'm just a hypocrite when it comes down to it. Fuck Babylon, fuck capitalism, smash the system, all power to the people.
Yay.
When things go wrong and will not come right, though you do the best you can, when life looks black, it's the hour of night. A pint of plain is your only man. When money's tight and it's hard to get, then your horse is also ran. When all you have is a heap of debt, a pint of plain is your only man. When health is bad and your heart feels strange and your face is pale and wan, when doctors say you need a change, a pint of plain is your only man. When food is scarce and your larder bare, and no rashers grease your pan, when hunger grows as your meals grow rare, a pint of plain is your only man. In time of trouble and lousy strife, You've still got a darling plan. You still can turn to a brighter life. A pint of plain is your only man.
Yeah, and that was The Workman's Friend, a fantastic Irish poem by the brilliant and neglected poet Jem Casey, that was anthologised in At Swim Two Birds by Flann O'Brien, the great Flann O'Brien, who wrote, besides At Swim Two Birds, he wrote The Third Policeman, and a very interesting novelist. The Third Policeman is essential reading for anybody that reads books. Flann O'Brien was a genius. He had several names that he went under. Miles Nagopoline, and At Swim Two Birds, not quite so much. It does have funny bits in it. It's very difficult to read. Took me 4 attempts. Ulysses only took me 2 attempts to get through by James Joyce. But At Swim Two Birds by Flann O'Brien took me 4 attempts before I could actually read it. It's very good if you like that sort of thing. But The Third Policeman is good for everybody. It's one of the funniest opening lines of any Irish novel ever, about hitting somebody on the head with a spade. So you know, it's going to rock. It's very funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think people you hit on head with spades is funny, you fucking psychopath.
Well, I think that a lot of people can relate to that one.
Yeah, anyway, and the next tune on the record is Insignificance by
Insignificance,
the Meekons.
Insignificance, that's right. Yeah, the Meekons, fantastic band.
Mm.
They've been going for 50 years. They just celebrated their 50-year anniversary. amazing band that never changed their lineup. And they're originally from England. They're not from Sheffield.
No, they're from Leeds.
Eventually Leeds. Moved to the States and got involved with REM, or was it Robin Hitchcock somehow?
I'm not sure. I don't know, man. I don't pay any attention to the United States.
But they never really made it big.
The Meat Puppets. Who knows?
Yeah, they do a couple of good connections in the States, and then just kept on going, and they just released an album recently. I forgot the title, but it's horrible. That's right. Yeah.
And there's a dub version of it. The dub version is awesome.
Yeah, okay.
It's a 2-CD set with the original album and the dub versions, which have been remixed by top DJs. Just blinding stuff.
Hmm.
And we actually had permission to do this tune because John from the Meekons, I messaged him on Facebook. And he said, yeah, no, go for your life. And then he released an acoustic version of it, of the old Meekons tune off Retreat from Memphis 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He released an acoustic version of it a week before we released our acoustic version of it. And his version's actually much better. But ours is cheaper. So, you pay your money, it takes
time. Anyway, it's a rocking song. And it's got some electric bass on it, which is probably the only electric instrument on the whole record. So here we go, rock on. Insignificance.
A hologram of a naked man's eyes spat around. Proof of existence. A giant stirs to squat a fly that's lost its best defense. Insignificant. Industry.
So, who killed JFK?
I think
we did. We certainly killed that tune.
We all did.
Who killed the Kennedys? After all, it was you and me, as a great philosopher once said. Yeah. Very old philosopher. Anyway.
So,
the longest train.
The longest train.
700 versions of this tune exist, and you can't actually go to a folk gig. Every folk band has to do a version of this tune, or they get kicked out of folk club. The first rule of folk club is you don't talk about folk club. The second rule of folk club is that you've got to do a version of The Longest Train, Black Girl, In the Pines, or whatever the hell it's called, because it's got like 20 or 30 different titles.
Yeah. And it's the same. Nirvana did that too.
Nirvana did it, and they did it. Well, they call it Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Yeah,
Billy
right.
Childish has done it. As far as I know, the Armitage Shanks have never done it, but they're not a folk group, so they don't have to. But we had to, before we'd actually be admitted to folk club, we had to put a version of this tune, which was written in the 17th century by some geezer in the Appalachian Mountains. Long before trains were invented, he had clairvoyant powers, and he thought, I know what's going to happen in the future. Somebody's going to invent trains, and they're going to break people's hearts.
That's interesting.
I think that's what happened.
I did not know that.
Neither did I, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, The Longest Train. Here we go.
Chuff, chuff. Woo!
The longest train I ever saw was on that Woodhead line. The engine passed at 6 o'clock, the brakeman came at 9. The prettiest girl I ever saw was by that red rosy cheeks, eyes of blue, the curls hung down her back. My girl, what have I done that makes you treat me so? Street, now I've no place to go. I Ah, sweet and lonesome turtle dove that flies from pine to pine. He's mourning for his own lost love, just like a mortal pine. The longest train I ever saw was on that Woodhead line. The engine passed at 6 o'clock, the brake that came at 9.
Of course, this whole record was inspired by Robin Hitchcock's comeback record after the Soft Boys split up in, when was it, 1982. And Robin went through a rather dark period that involved him sort of like hiding in the woods in Sussex for a long time, and only occasionally coming out to record in barns on a Porter studio. And he made a comeback album called I Often Dream of Trains, which is just one of the greatest British records of any type ever, which is just full-on genius. And Robin Hitchcock got me through Thatcher's Britain. He was an inspiration, and I'm so glad that he's gone absolutely massive now, and he's a national institution, and he's going from strength to strength. New album, The Confuser, just out, which is always, I mean, his records are always amazing. He's Britain.
And he just turned 70 too,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah,
and you can't hear it. It's amazing. He hasn't lost his voice in any way, and he still sounds like 30, 40 years ago. Amazing guy. And the song Bones in the Ground is probably one of his most beautiful songs, which apparently he didn't actually really like that much at the time. But we picked it because it's just so fantastic.
Yeah, and it was done as a benefit for the striking miners in 1984, although it sold so few copies that actually the National Union of Mine Workers ended up owing him money. But he didn't even collect the money that they owed him for doing the benefit record, which I don't know actually whether that's true or not. I don't care. I'm half cut already. It's quite late in the day. What time is it, Dr. Gonzo? It'll be about like 11:45 in the morning, won't it?
Would be.
Yeah, all it right. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we're bohemians, man. We're folk singers. We're meant to be drunk all the time. It does what it says on the packet. The bones in the ground, ladies and
bones
gentlemen.
Bones in the ground.
Take it away, Robin. No, it's us, isn't it?
It's us.
Good.
Exactly.
Even better. Yeah.
Okay.
Smear it on you and all your apples too, if I thought it would help you revive. But the bones in the ground, they never make a sound. The bones in the ground are all fine. The bones in the air, oh, I ain't no care. Yeah, the bones in the air, they're all. Oh, shiny Maureen, you show me
God, fucking pulling you now. Fuck, I'm tired, fucking
cunt. You know, I'm so over the end of the world. It's like the apocalypse. It's like yesterday's news, isn't it, really? Everybody, I'm post-apocalypse, really. I don't think that the world is going to end any time soon, I'm afraid. I think it's very conceited to think, given the Book of Revelations was written in, what was it, 600 AD by a bloke on a Greek island who was tripping balls on mushrooms. And every generation since 600 AD has thought they were the one that was going to get raptured and see the beast appear and all the seven seals and all that. It's like, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. I'd hate to be contradicted on this or proved wrong, I have to say. But I really don't think that you know, the apocalypse is coming anytime soon. Maybe it is the end of the Western hegemony. Or what? I can't believe I managed to pronounce hegemony. But I did it twice. Gee. Result. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the apocalypse.
The apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so fed up of people posting that W.B. Yeats poem, The Second Coming, on Facebook, you know, and that we recorded a version of it to end the record with, in the hope that we would deliver it and do such a banging version that nobody would ever want to record another version of The Second Coming by W.B. Yeats, a famous Irish psychedelic poet of the 1920s. Ever again. And I delivered it fantastically. It really is the definitive reading. If you go on YouTube, you can hear dozens of famous Hollywood actors reading this poem, and also like blowings just trying to have a go. And I nailed it, I have to say. And actually, that's maybe not the best expression to use for a poem about the second coming of Christ, but anyway, that's the expression that I did use, and I'm just gonna have to stand by that. Consult my lawyers if you want to sue me for blasphemy for saying that. It was an innocent comment, and it was fantastic that business that you did on the synthesizer. We used a synthesizer on this track, and I said to Zig, just do any old bullshit, because my reading is so fantastic that nobody will be listening to the music, and you can just balls it up if you want. And but as it happened, you did pretty good. It was all right, anyway. And Juno's fantastic. I bloody love the Juno.
Absolutely,
it's on all our records that you featured the Juno 06.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah,
it's basically the third member of the group, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You can say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have any comments about The Second Coming by W.B. Yeats?
No, except I totally agree with what you just said.
Good. No, I don't.
I don't believe in it either. I think we're going to be here for a long, long, long time. And everything's going to be fantastic in the future.
Everything's going to be fantastic, including our fantastic new record, which is called Everything's Going to Be Fantastic in the Future.
That's right.
Which is full of positive, upbeat tunes about how fantastic everything is going to be in the future.
Yeah.
And
we just recorded that a few weeks ago in over 2 days' time.
At a cost of $1,800 plus GST, or including GST.
Including
GST.
No, it was $16.
$1,600.
$16, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but that doesn't include mastering.
That's right.
$900 for mastering. That's almost half what it costs to, like, record and mix it.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Anyway, we'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah.
But either way, if we sell all 100 copies of the following record, we'll be in the hole for about $1,000 each, won't we?
Where's my pocket calculator?
No, I've worked it out, man. So please buy the record, because neither of us have a proper job, and you don't want to know how we finance this bizarre hobby. I finance it by pretending that by not having a model railway layout. That's a very expensive hobby, and so I don't have that to spend money on. Consequently, I just make records. It would be really helpful if you could buy the records or the CDs or streaming things, because I can't even afford drugs.
That's very sad.
I know. I mean, just get the violin out. No, get the acoustic guitar out, and we'll do some tunes off the new record. How about that? Compromise.
Yep. Okay, let's do that.
I'm a firm believer in compromising. Yeah. All right, okay. Thank you, listeners. Well,
thank you very much.
Thanks, listeners. It's been fantastic, I think. It hasn't happened yet. Have a fantastic afternoon, evening, morning. Apocalypse, whatever. This has been Simon Strong
and Zunke Rickardson
with an umlaut. Don't forget the umlaut.
Well, okay. With an umlaut on the O. It's two dots over the O.
Yeah.
So
looks like an astonished person smiling. If you're tripping on acid and you look at the, you know, it looks like somebody going, whee!
It makes you trip looking at it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Really, really fantastic, mate. And thanks for the last 25 years of banging records and tunes.
My pleasure.
Awesome.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
See you, world.
Yeah, here we go. WB Yeats, take it away. Fucking Golden Dawn. Bullshit.
The Second Coming by WB Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. Oh, the second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in the sands of the desert, a shape with a lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast! Its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. Eh?
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Simon Strong.
And I'm Zernke.
Please support Community Radio 3CR. Get involved and find out more on the website 3cr.org.au.
Thank you, Simon and Zonk, for the extremely entertaining introductions to the songs on The Bastardizer's beautiful record. If you can't find it at your local record store, then ask the person behind the counter to find it for you. And now a taste from the forthcoming record from Simon and Zonk. Everything's going to be fantastic in the future.
No, well, here we are in the future, Zeke. And
finally arrived.
Yeah, it's here, whether you like it or not. And we're going to do a bonus tune live in the studio, or in Paul's recording studio, I guess. Not 3CR studio. I don't want to mislead anybody. This is a tune by an old traditional English folk tune by Bob Smith and his combo from the mid to late 20th century. And it's an anti-logging song, I think, isn't it? It's about deforestation.
You could say that, yeah.
I will do. It's about deforestation.
All right.
Cool. I did. Take it away, man.
All right.
If you want to, I'm not your boss.
Okay.
come closer and see. See into the dark, find the ghost if you can. Come closer and see. See into the tree. Follow your eyes. Follow your eyes. I hear her voice calling my name. Down is deep in the dark. I hear her voice and I start to run into the tree. Suddenly I stop, I know it's too late. I'm lost in a forest, all alone. The girl was never there, it's always the same. I'm running towards nothing, again and again and again and again and again and again. And again.
God bless The Cure. Yeah, God bless Robert Smith, Lawrence Tolhurst, and all the lads.
It's great. It's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
I like the colour too. It's great.
Thanks, Gunter. Epic Starlings.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Woo! Take it easy. Keep on tugling. All right.
Simon mentioned a track he liked by Psychic TV from the Allegory and Self album released in 1988. And here it is. Thanks for listening. Keep on tuning in. Bye from Dr. Gonzo. This is Just Like Arcadia.
Like Arcadia.